There are six kids in my family. My parents took great pains to ensure that they didn't play favorites, which is not to say that we did not try. We tried. Perhaps it is time to revisit that game, but with your financial advisor. Our next guest argues that there is a benefit to becoming your advisor's favorite client. Fraser Rice is the author of Wealth, Actually, Intelligent Decision-Making for the 1%. He joins us from Boston. Hello there.
Bruce, thank you very much.
Is this a nod to the movie Love, Actually? Have I picked that up correctly?
A little bit. I was struggling with the title, and I woke up from a fitful sleep with the TV on to the channel guide, and Love Actually happened to be there, and stranger things happen.
Perfect. Well, a great holiday movie if there ever was one. Now tell me, why should people become their wealth manager's favorite client?
I think one of the important things is that it guarantees that you get their attention and the level of service that you require. By becoming a wealth advisor's favorite client, it ensures that you're getting their attention. A wealth advisor many times has a lot of competing interests for their attention, whether it's going out and finding new clients or dealing with larger ones that are very complicated and requiring certain things, or even it may just be the phone is ringing with four different people on the other end of the line at the same time. And so if you're a good client, and that can take many different forms, that ensures that you get the attention that you deserve.
Isn't that the opposite of how it's supposed to work? Aren't they supposed to be working hard to be my favorite service provider?
You'd think so, but at the end of the day, the service and business models that drive revenue and ultimately drive the compensation for wealth advisors, that it takes precedence. And I lived in the industry where you had to triage certain things, and ultimately you tried to do the best you can with what you have, but we all have limited resources to service clients and businesses and so on, and ultimately tough choices have to be made. So when you're in that situation where an advisor has to make tough choices, or they have trouble getting back to you, or you're not getting the level of attention that you need, then it's important for you to be prepared, do the little things to try to make it easy for them to help advise you.
Is this the kinder, gentler version of the squeaky wheel gets the grease?
I think you don't even need to be kind in many cases, especially if you're not getting the attention that you signed up for. But by the same token, I think being civil and polite, I think that goes a long way. I think being prepared goes a long way. I think having some forethought and understanding what your issues are so that what can be done in a 15-minute phone call doesn't necessarily take a one-hour meeting. Those types of things help to make things more efficient at the advisor end, and that ultimately makes you a good client in their eyes.
So civil, prepared. What other actions can people take to make sure that they're in the good books?
I think one of the great things, what made a good client for me was when clients were prepared. And I've just said that before, but it bears repeating. And being prepared means a bunch of different things. I think, first of all, having your information at the ready, meaning knowing where your assets are, having an idea of what your estate plan is or isn't, so that you can come to an advisor meeting understanding what you may need or not need. That helps the advisor. It helps in the listening and information gathering process, which is always a little bit difficult. But then in the advisor's ability to diagnose the problems that are in place. And ultimately, I think that's where if you're prepared and you're able to deal with uncertainty, I think that's where that's where an advisor really can add value and provide the advice they need to kind of help you chart your course going forward.
Are there any things on the stop doing list? What are the super duper annoyances that if we were aware of, we might do less frequently?
I think the important thing is you're more than allowed to call your advisor whenever you want. I think if you are working with an advisor that has set out to have quarterly meetings and that you're in an asset allocation situation and that he's trying to get you to think in terms of the long-term horizon, and then you come with daily phone calls asking whether you should buy or sell Tesla or some individual name and something that doesn't necessarily align with the operating model of the firm, I think that's where you get into real trouble. And that should be set out pretty early on in the relationship. When choosing an advisor, I try to tell people that understand what the firm does and what they don't do ahead of time, so that if you sign on and then you're going to try to get something else out of them that you didn't have before, that's going to be an unpleasant experience.
Is there any way for advisors to give their clients feedback and cultivate a better working relationship? Because it is kind of a tough balance here, given that the client is paying the bill, they're buying a service, and yet there are things, as you mentioned, that don't seem like they're that difficult for clients to do, that if a client knew, they could improve the efficacy of that relationship. How hard is it for advisors to deliver that feedback to clients?
It's tough. I think that you want to really set out early on and have an understanding of what you do and don't do. And when you revisit the situation, whether you're reviewing performance or a client is coming to you with a change in circumstances that needs to be dealt with in their lives, and so that the advice may change and that you may need to deal with something different. If you have those guardrails set up ahead of time as it relates to service standards, as it relates to communication standards, as it relates to what's reasonable to be expected, you can avoid what I would describe as scope creep, where all of a sudden a client starts asking for certain things and then they start asking for more things, and then you're doing more things that you're not getting paid for, and all of a sudden your pie chart of time starts to get dominated more with ministerial duties as opposed to advice or overall larger practice management issues. That's when it gets very difficult. I think the best thing to do is make sure you understand upfront what the service standards are, obviously live up to them. And if there are things that are sort of extraneous or unusual, frame out ahead of time for the client that, you know, this is something that requires a different level of attention and probably a different level of fee. By the same token, I would say that that's not an easy conversation to have when a client is paying a lot of money, especially in a world where an account level fee is significant. And if you look in pure dollar basis, people start saying, well, what am I getting for my money?
Right.
You know, that's something that you want to get ahead of time so that those fee arguments are muted in the future.
Well, I love this topic. One of the things I take on when I go to a restaurant is to be the server's favorite customer, the favorite customer of the evening. Not only because I think you get better service that way, but also because it's kind of a fun game to play. So you and I are on the same page.
Absolutely. I think one of the things, too, and part of being part of adding value to the client is providing stories that you're seeing from other clients that you have or from
right.
other experiences that you're hearing about. I think a lot of sort of the value add that you give to a client is letting them hear what you're seeing elsewhere, so that it's not just a lonely existence where it's you and your advisor against the
right.
world. If the advisor has other experiences that help make the client make their experience a little bit better, that's something I would be talking about.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the idea of having client events so that clients can meet other clients if they're comfortable with that, and building that camaraderie around your practice.
Fraser, thanks for joining us today.
Terrific. Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it.
Fraser Rice is the author of Wealth, Actually, Intelligent Decision Making for the 1%. We were talking about how to become your advisor's favorite client.